Morning. If we'll turn your psalm books to 118. 118. Good to have Larry and Lynette and all the family here this morning. Charles will be our speaker, Charles Savage. Thank him for coming. 118. Let's sing first two and last verse, please. Try to keep from coughing. Got a lot of coughing. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing.
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank this day and all the wonderful blessings of life that you have so richly bestowed upon us. We ask you to please be with all those who have been sick and afflicted, those less fortunate we are. Thank you for being with those who have been sick and are back with us now. We appreciate your loving care that you've given them. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with the church here in New Lex and our sister congregations. Help us to grow spiritually, numerically. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, we beg of you to forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 on the Pew Bible, that is page 1715. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, page 1715. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him.
If we will, please turn to 102. Invitation song will be 573. In vain, in high and holy lay, my soul her grateful voice would raise. For who can sing the worthy praise of the wonderful love of Jesus? Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful.
This morning, if you would like to follow along in the scriptures with me, we're going to start out with Matthew chapter 18. This sermon is actually inspired by the little girl who came up to me about a month ago during the service, and I had no idea what to do, so I froze. And then I thought, well, okay, let's see where we can go with this. Poor little girl, she didn't know me, and I definitely didn't know her. But sometimes out of the actions of babes come some very interesting things. And so I don't see her this morning, so maybe I scared her off. Hopefully not. But children are important. Children are amazing, and sometimes children don't know what the rules are. So they do what they do until they find out that what they're doing is either right or wrong. And sometimes we sing the songs, Jesus loves the little children. And I want to talk about children and why children are important to Jesus and why children should be important to us. Because we as adults, we're supposed to be the examples. We have experience in life. We have learned things through bumps and bruises. And that's the reason we all have aches and pains. It's because we've learned a lot, whether we like it or not. I tell people, skiing off of your garage is not a good idea. There's long stories that go with that, and you don't have time. But to Jesus, children were important, and they made wonderful examples, grand opportunities for Jesus to teach us as adults. And so in chapter 18, we run across the matter of fact, it's the very beginning of the chapter. And at the it says in chapter 18, verse 1, it says, at the time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, can you imagine, I mean, I know people do this. I've never actually done this myself, although I've been tempted to do so, is walk up to your boss at work and say, "Hey, am I a good worker?" Well, there's nothing wrong with getting an evaluation, but am I your best worker? Wow. Okay. Now you've kind of put your boss in spot. You know, to actually, if your boss is actually going to tell you the truth, well, you know, you're a nice guy, but you know, you're not my best worker. Or yeah, you're my best worker, but I just don't want to say so because it causes jealousy, you know, rivalry in a job place. So can you imagine the disciples walking up to Jesus and saying, "Who's the greatest here?" You know, Muhammad Ali had the problem. "I am the greatest." Well, you know, that's nice, but eventually somewhere along the line that catches up with all of us as human beings, because in the end, Muhammad Ali may have been the greatest boxer at that moment, but eventually disease took him. Not a fight, but humanity, being human, took him. Boxing, he may have been the greatest at, but being the greatest human being might have been a slightly different story. And if we all understand that we're all terminal, as somebody recently told me, "You know, Charles, you're not going to get out of life alive." Okay, you have to think about that for a moment. Now, I want to let you all know I am very grateful for the fact that some of you have already started praying for me on behalf of my surgery coming up the day after Christmas. Merry Christmas to me. Merry Christmas to you. Gee, thanks. One doctor looked at me and said, "You know, you have a 99% chance of survival." I'm like, "Wow, that's pretty good. I like that. There's odds, you know, 1% chance of failing. That's an A." Sort of, okay. And then the next doctor who came in, not more than 30, 40 seconds later, said, "You know, you've got a 75% chance of survival, but you might want another opinion." I don't know about you. I'm not very good at math, but if you go from 99 to 75, I am not sure that the third opinion is going to ask for much. You know, I don't like my odds when we're going down the scale. But anyway, can you imagine, "Are you the best doctor for me?" Wow, can you imagine asking any doctor that? "Are you my best doctor?" Gee, that's just putting somebody on the spot there. And so then Jesus says, called a little child to him, set him in the midst. Now, quite frequently when we see a poster or a picture, Jesus has got a child on his lap. The scripture doesn't say so, but that's probably a good indication. You know, they're in a crowd, and Jesus is probably either sitting or standing, and they bring a child amongst them. That poor kid probably just look up going, you know, looking at this guy, "Hey, who is this guy?" You know? And so Jesus has them bring a child. Doesn't say boy or girl, just says a child. Could have been anybody. Doesn't say how old the child is. Could have been a newborn. Could have been 5 years old. It's a child. Okay? And set that child in amongst the entire crowd, however many are there. Now, it says disciples at the beginning of this first verse. How many of the disciples were there? I don't know at this point in time. Could have been 12. Could have been 20. I don't know how many were there. When we think about it, we think automatically 12, but we're not sure. Doesn't say. And it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, somewhere along the line, as we go through this scripture, we miss the first part. This is the part we remember. "Assuredly, I say to you, become as little children, and you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." For some strange reason, we miss the first part of that. The first part of that says what? You have to be what? Converted. And then become like little children. If you're not converted, it's not going to make any difference. Because it's in that order. Converted and then become as little children. Don't miss. Okay, the rest of the world, in the hippie world, in the hippie generation of the 1960s, oh, hey, man, just love Jesus and it'll be okay. Yeah, just take on Jesus and you'll be all right. Unfortunately, we still have people left over from the hippie generation. Why? Because I'm still here. I remember, I may have been 10, grant you. You know, I had some students on occasion say, Mr. Savage, you know, because they're just trying to avoid me teaching the lesson that their teacher left behind for me as a substitute. And they're like, I mean, how old are you? And I was like, I tell them, when were you born? And I tell them, they say, oh, man, the 60s must have been really cool for you. Yeah, the 60s were really cool for me. You know, I was 12 when the 60s were over. I said, no, my parents didn't give me LSD when I was younger. I'm sorry. My parents grew up in South Angel. They could have cared less about LSD. You know, and they're like, well, okay. So they're, because I'm old, they think that I just automatically know something about the 60s. I do, but I'm not going to tell them what I know. It just ruins the day. But anyway, they're like, you know, but the whole idea in the 60s was, you know, Jesus is just cool. You just know Jesus and you're going to be okay. Uh-uh. That's not what Jesus just said. He says you got to be converted. And then become like little children. And how do you become? We can't, I mean, I would love to be 10 years old. No, I take that back. I don't want to be 10 anymore. I'll be 12. I'll pick 12. Okay, I don't want to be 10. 10, I spent a third of my time in a body cast from an accident that I had. I don't want to be 10 anymore. That's sad. But anyway, how do you become the little children again? I can't take some of the things out of my brain and say, I get to be 12. We can't do that. But we can become less complicated. We can be simpler people. Not simple in mind, but in simple in our behavior. Okay? We can love people regardless of who they are or what they do. Sometimes we can't fix them, but we can continue to be their friends. We can head them in the right direction. We're either going to love God or we're not. We're either going to do what God asks us to do or we're not. Christianity is actually quite simple. Like children, we're either going to do what God asks us to do or we're not. It's that simple. Okay? And when we get to heaven, we're either right hand or left hand. There's no middle ground. Did you notice that? You know, we're talking about judgment. We're either right hand or left hand. We're either good or bad. There's no, well, that's an okay person. We'll just let them slide through. No, either we were either good or not. Okay, we've either been baptized or we're not. We either take communion or not. We either give or not. See, it's one or the other. It's not both. There's no fence riding here. People say Christianity is so complicated. No, it's not. It's not. And it's all about us. And then, believe it or not, Christianity is selfish. If I am not living the right life, whatever it is I do isn't going to matter. If I am not following God, it doesn't matter. I'm on the wrong side. It's that simple. People make it so we as human beings make it so complicated. No wonder the world's confused. I'd be confused too. Oh, you know, I haven't lit any candles when I walked in the door. I haven't, you know, crawled my way up the aisle. You know, I haven't talked to the right statue. I'm sorry, I can't. You know how I get to talk to God? Through Jesus. Not through this saint, the mother of Mary, and so forth. No, sorry. It's through Jesus. That's it. It's that simple. Why do we make it complicated? Because somebody decided it was that way, who wasn't reading God's word. Children want an answer, yes or no, do this or do that. It's that simple, okay? Therefore, Whoever humbles himself stumbles. We'll talk about that later. Okay, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in heaven. That's how you find out you're the greatest, because you have humbled yourself. Now, who's humbled himself the most on this earth? Jesus Christ. He is the example of humility. Nobody's going to be any more humble than the Son of God. So we have, you know, how do you do that? Say you're sorry. Let somebody else win. Give. Whatever it takes for you to be humble. I don't know how to do that because I'm still working on it. When I get it mastered, I'm going to let Jim know. Okay. I'm going to let you know how I get there. So far, I haven't told you how to get there because I haven't made it yet. I'm still working. I learn a lot about, you know, what I should be doing, but I'll let you know when I get there. But that's how you get to be the greatest in heaven, is whoever humbles himself like a little child. You are not a little child, but you humble yourself one like a little child. Children look at you and say, you know, you shouldn't do that. I'm sorry. 5 minutes later, they'll do it again, but they'll also say, I'm sorry. Say, you know, you keep doing that. I know. I'm sorry. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name, in the name of Jesus, receives who? He receives me. If you receive these little children, these humble human beings, you receive Jesus. If you look at the life of Jesus, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them, you read them all, and you find out that what Jesus has asked of his disciples is not to go out and do grandiose things and take over the world. He wants you to do simple things that bring people to him. You tell people about him. And there's going to be some people who are going to say, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about something else? If you say, I don't know, that's called honesty, isn't it? You know, I don't know everything there is to know about this book. I'm sorry to say I don't. There's a lot there. And my memory is not always the best in the world. And if I don't know something, what about if this person does this, do they get to go to heaven? I don't know. But I'll find out. I don't know, but I'll find you somebody who does know. I did that a lot when we had bus ministry at Norval Park years ago. Somebody asked me a question one time when I knocked on their door. We were just trying to get their children to ride the church bus. But they decided to have this biblical conversation with me at the door at that moment. And I didn't have an answer for them right then. I said, I'll have to find out. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know. Well, you should. You go to church. Yes, I should know, but I don't know. How about if I find out and come back next week and let you know? Is that okay? Yeah, that's all right. I could tell he wasn't very happy about it. He's probably kind of grumpy before I even got there, but that's okay. Maybe that was the way he was. But I said, I'll come back. And we did. I knocked on the door. I actually found the answer to the question he wanted, but I don't think it was the answer he wanted. I gave him an answer. He says, okay, well, at least you found it. No, we don't have any children here to ride the bus. I thought, well, okay. I got the answer I wanted, and he got the answer he felt like he needed. But children are humble. They don't cut, you know, it's really kind of interesting how we... So obviously Jesus knew what children were like. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 19, just flip the page over, okay? And we're going to go to verse 13. First, verse 13 through 15. Now remember, in the first scripture, the disciples were there. and he has a child sit amongst them. Okay. And Jesus says in verse 13, Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. Now, wait a minute. These are the same people that just brought the child to Jesus. Because Jesus says, bring this child here. Now the children are coming to him so he can lay hands on them. I don't know about you. I'm good. Can I use you for a second?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to lay hands on him. Now, I'm pretty sure that this is not going to make him 20 years younger. I'm sorry. But people are bringing the children to Jesus so he can lay hands on them. Because the people recognize that Jesus is something special. He heals people. Okay? And the children recognize those kinds of things pretty quickly. Now, I had one child who came up to me. I don't know what about me makes them think so, but I was sitting in the hallway the other day at the school. We were doing something special for some of the elementary school kids who were coming through the high school to gather some candy. Okay? And it was Halloween. They were having Halloween at the high school. And I'm sitting there at a chair because I'm going to be standing all day and I don't feel like standing and I'm just a substitute teacher and all that kind of thing. So I'm sitting on a chair. You have to picture this now. I'm going to have to move this just a little bit. I picture this. I get to sit down for a second, okay? I'm going to sit down and I'm sitting there and I'm handing out candy. And this little girl comes up to me and she decides she's going to sit on my lap. And she says, do you know what I want for Christmas? And I thought to myself, okay. So I said, no, I don't know what you want for Christmas, but I'm the wrong person to be asking. Okay. And so she goes, she got this real disappointed look on her. I have no idea what that meant, but anyway, I'm going to let it go. But he said, let the little ones come to me. Why? Because the disciples rebuked the parents bringing the kids. You know, don't come up to here. This is Jesus. Don't come up here. Okay. And he's telling them, hey, wait a minute. Let the little ones come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Didn't he just tell them? They weren't paying attention. Didn't he just say to them, hey, you have to be like? And they were not paying attention. Here, the children are coming to, because children recognize good things most of the time. Most of the time, their children recognize good things. And here he's saying, wait a minute, whoa, what are you doing? Why are you stopping them? Let them come. He doesn't seem to be bothered by this, and this is Jesus. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. He did what? I mean, if you had the opportunity for Jesus to touch your child, wouldn't you want that to happen? Right, yeah. Yeah. I think if I even got the opportunity to shake hands with him, I might be a better person by it. Really. Better than I am now. You know, and here the disciples are like, no. And he's saying, yes. And it's not just the idea of healing somebody, but it's also putting a hand on somebody. A couple of you have come up to me this morning and put your hand on my shoulder and said, hey, how you doing? You know, I recognize you. That contact, that feeling of good. I don't know if there's anybody in town or in the area where you live that probably could use a friendly face, a gentle touch, a handshake, a cup of coffee, a glass of water. You'd be surprised. You give somebody a cup of coffee or a glass of water or something. They're like, who was that person? I don't know, but they gave me a cup of coffee. They bought me a bowl of soup. They bought me a sandwich. How did they know? I don't know how they knew. You'd be surprised. An act of kindness goes farther than you know. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven. How many times has one of your children or grandchildren had a stuffed teddy bear and you weren't feeling good and they brought you that stuffed teddy bear and said, "This will make you feel better"? They don't know whether it will or not, but in their mind it does. Matthew 21. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 21. Starting at verse 12. Okay, now we've seen Jesus accept the children. We've seen Jesus rebuke the disciples for wanting the children to go away. It's going to get a little thicker here. Verse 12, in chapter 21, verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God. Okay, we're at the temple. We're in church. Okay, and drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He's throwing out the business people and the greedy people out of the temple of God. He's throwing out the people who are not supposed to be there doing business on God's turf. Jesus, this is the only time where you see Jesus getting upset about something. I mean, really upset about something. They're making money off of the name of God. That's interesting. You have to think about that for a minute. And then he says, "It is written, 'In my house shall be called a house of' what? Prayer. Not a house of business. Okay. But you have made it a den of thieves." Because what would happen is you want a dove to be able to make your sacrifice with. Okay, well, this is the cost of the dove, but in handling the dove, this is the extra charge. You're from someplace else and you don't have our money system. Well, I'll change your money over for you so you can give, but I need a little bit, there's a commission fee for that. I get to make money off of that. And you're like, wow. Next thing you know, everybody's getting rich except God. Everybody's getting what they need except God. I should say it that way. I'm sorry. I said it wrong. And the house of God is a house of prayer. Jesus says so. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things, not just things, but wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, what? Hosanna to who? The Son of David. They knew who he was. The children knew who he was. Because they had heard the stories from their parents and grandparents that to be looking for the Son of David, the children knew who he was. Yeah. Saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. They were indignant. Who was indignant? The priests and scribes. The adults got angry. They got upset. How dare they come in here and say that? How dare they recognize him as being the Son of David? Wow. Indignant. That's a word I don't use very often. Probably should. Okay. Expand my vocabulary and all that happy stuff. And he said to them, And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? Do you hear them? Do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read the part we always remember? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected what? Perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfect praise. There's nothing to it. There's no complications. There's no fancy wording. It's just Hosanna to the Son of David. It doesn't get much simpler than that. They are praising Jesus. For what? The wonderful things he does. Wow. Nothing complicated, no politics, no money involved, just simple praise coming out of the mouth of children. And Jesus says, it's perfected. Wow. Simplicity at its best. Jesus says so. Perfect. I don't know how close to perfect. Now, some people will say perfect means no flaws. Okay, that's one definition of the word perfect. The other definition of the word perfect means complete. I'll take either one. I'll take both. I'm going to be greedy. I'm going to take both. Okay? I'm going to take both. Okay? Because if it's perfect, then it's complete. If it's complete, it's perfect. I'll take it. Simplicity, as simple worship at its best. Now, if you would indulge me one more scripture, please. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 28. John was one of the last apostles. Remember James and John, sons of thunder? Yeah, they argued with each other which one was going to be the greatest in heaven, which one was going to sit on the right hand, the left hand. Ooh, wow, Mom. That's how you're asking a lot out of Jesus when you do that. I'll let you go back and read that sometime. But anyway, so John, the Apostle John, out of the two, James and John, John is the one who's left toward the end. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Who is he talking to? Those who are on the island of Patmos with him as prisoners. Who is he talking to? The prisoners. And he calls them what? Little children. Do you think he learned that lesson from somebody? Jesus. And now, little children, abide in him. Who? Jesus. Abide in him, God. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at whose coming? His coming. Jesus is coming. Okay? If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Okay? He says the world doesn't know who we are because the world doesn't know who Jesus is. Isn't paying attention to God. But if they know who Jesus is, they will know who we are as children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What's pure? It's what's pure, perfect. What's perfect is complete. If we are complete, if we are perfect, then we are pure. What's purer than a brand new baby? I have no idea. Except God. And we are to be religiously as little children. Who knew that that little girl coming down the pew and standing beside me a month ago, whoever she was, would be the subject of my sermon this morning? Little children, they're accepting, they're loving, they're hoping, they're assuming. That little girl assumed when she stood right here, bless her heart, she assumed that I was not going to do her any harm. She took for granted that I was a good person, innocent. And we are to be innocent of our sins. Just some thoughts for this morning. Hopefully they will help you, because I learned a lot in a month from that little girl. I'm sorry she's not here, because I'd like to give her a hug. But anyway, if you have any reason to need to be pure, to cleanse your soul, either to be baptized or to have us pray for you, maybe you've been a child of God and you've wandered off and you just need to be cleansed again. If we can help you in any possible way this morning, let us know as we stand and we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come for ye loves to the soul. Only a step, only a step. Please be seated. Thank Charles for coming this morning and having a good, great lesson. If you will, please turn to 160 as we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper.
I love the Lord, for he died my soul to save. On Calvary, his dear life he freely gave. From realms above, Jesus freely came to die.
Anyone needs communion, let Steve know and he'll get it for you. On the first day of the week, and every Lord's Day, we know we take these emblems to remember our Lord as he hung on the cross. Acts 20, verse 7 says the disciples came together to break bread. Let's have our minds on what God Son did for us. This bread representing his body, the fruit of the vine representing his precious blood. We can have our minds on a lot of things today, but when we come to worship God, let's truly have our hearts and minds in what he's done for us. Singing, giving, listening to preachers, and taking Lord's Supper and praying. Let's go to God in prayer and give God thanks for what he's done for us, sending his Son to die for us on the cross. Dear God, we thank you so much for being able to come here this morning and worship you, to remember our Lord and Savior as he died for us on the cross. Thank you for the bread. Help this be nourishment to our hearts and souls, and help us, God, remember what he done for us on the cross, the best of our ability.
put all worldly thoughts aside. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your Son who suffered and died for our sins, the agony he went through more than we realize, and the pain because of the song he first loved us. God, we thank you for the fruit of the vine. Help us remember his death till he comes again. In Jesus' name, amen. We also have an opportunity to give back to God. Let's please go to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you again for everything. So many blessings, more than we realize. We're richly blessed. Help us always remember those who are less fortunate, who are going through many trials and sickness, pain and things. Be with them. Now as we give back to you, God, help us give from our hearts, cheerfully, as we've been prospered, to help the church in the business of the church, and help us to grow again and do your work strongly in here, New Lex Church of Christ. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. In his name, amen. I have announcements. I
have to lay these out so I don't forget something. Don't have too much this morning. First thing I'd start out with is, wow, Charles, that was quite a lesson. Thank you for that today. It's a good lesson today and any day, really. I've got to say this. It reminded me as he was thinking of this, that perfect praise. A couple weeks ago, Marsh and I got the privilege of going and seeing a great niece. And I hadn't seen her before. She was 2 years old. And Marsha's brother bought her a unicorn. That was her favorite thing. And as soon as she saw that, you should have seen her face. And she said, "Oh, that's so cute," in a two-year-old's voice. And then I got to play with her for about an hour. And all through that, that was everything I heard. Everything was cute, beautiful. And that was perfect praise. You know, a two-year-old says, "Oh, you're so cute." And very good lesson. Something for us to remember. In the bulletin today, I'm not going to read things in that since you can get one and go over those. I need to ask if there's anything that we want to update on anyone. Les is back in the hospital. I'm sorry to hear that. We have to keep that in our prayers. Les has went through a lot. Anyone else?
Lisa,
yes, as well. Went through a lot as well. Ernie? Betty
Thomas, Texas this morning, she's not feeling well.
Okay.
That's why she's not here.
Betty Giannis then as well. Charles? Right. Is that in the morning? Real early, isn't it? Real early in the morning.
6:30 in the morning.
I might send a text out to remind us that evening to pray when we get up. So,
well,
yeah. That's good time. We'll see. Hope things go well. We'll pray for that. Right, yeah.
That's actually my cousin.
Yeah, that's amazing how things like that, we're all connected. That happens to be Lynette's cousin. She lived in Caldwell, Ohio, now in Virginia. So it's something, the connections that there are. We're all connected. Anything else? It's wonderful to hear good news for things. You got something, Jared?
Yeah. Just a quick reminder for you here.
Okay.
Don't mean to interrupt.
Okay. Coming up, quick questions podcast series on the church website.
It's on Spotify app and Apple Podcast app on iPhone. Search Quick Questions from South Main Church of Christ. We'll be saying more about that as time goes on. So that's something new that's going to be on the website, the Quick Questions. So, and I want to remind you the get-together this New Year's Eve, and maybe we'll talk about more about some of the things on this as well. We're hoping, we're reaching out through the internet, and we hope we see results to that. When we know of it, a lot of that you're not going to know what effect it's going to have, but when we do get some evidence of that, we'll share that with you. There's a couple things coming up that I did want to mention from Fisher and Kenninger Road, I think, and that is the date on it's January 25th, and the day before that it's got teens here as well. So it's Fishinger Road Church of Christ. They don't have the other street was it used to be, unless it's a different place. Could be a different place as well. I'll put these on the bulletin board. Anything else?
When you talk about a revelation on Tuesday night, we didn't have time in there. Is it going to be 6:30 or?
I don't know. I haven't heard that time, Mark. Do we have a set time, elders? Okay. 6 o'clock for a couple hours, probably. Have the devotional at the end of it. Another year's gone. Looking forward to the new one. If not, then closing prayer. Would you please stand if you're able?
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today, thanking you for the opportunity to worship you freely in this country, being able to sing these songs unto you and learn from your word. God, we're thankful for Charles' lesson today. Please help us to take it in, apply it to our lives, become better Christians, and continue to grow, and that we're able to reach others and help your kingdom grow. God, we ask you to be with all those mentioned on our prayer list, those that are dealing with various health ailments, those that have upcoming tests and upcoming surgeries. Please be with them and their medical care team. Give them the knowledge and give them the strength to overcome and provide comfort during their challenging time. God, we ask you to be with us as we go our separate ways and be with those families that are traveling the extra distance. Keep them safe during their times of travel. And Lord, keep us strong in the face of temptation. And when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
How are you?